I don't know why she's coming for you.
Everyone wants a familiar fruit moment or whatever.
Hello everyone and welcome back to an extra special fruity episode of Snapped. As usual, I'm your host Paul.
And I'm Pete.
And this is your weekly dissection of music's greatest hits, hidden gems, and cultural resets. Each week, we dive deep into a different album to try and convince you that they truly snapped. And this week, we're heading over to Marina and the Diamonds' third studio album, Fruit.
I'm so excited to talk about this album. It's such an amazing, career-defining, gay anthem-filled masterpiece.
It seems like it's an album for people who I've followed her.
It's an absolutely incredible album that Pete, you specifically put on our schedule for this season to go through because it's one of your favorites. And having listened to it and dived right into the material these last few weeks, I couldn't agree more. It just ages so well once you delve a bit further into some of the meaning and intention behind the songs.
So Paul, why don't you take us back and tell us about the original rollout of the album?
This is Marina's third studio album, originally set to be released on April 3rd, 2015, but was pushed forward as CDs shipped early, ultimately leaking the entire album online in February of 2015, which is really sad and unfortunate and seems to happen to quite a lot of pop girls in this era where their stuff was released early. That was kind of Ashley's impact last week with Guilty Pleasure.
Well, if there's one person that doesn't have her stuff leaked, it is Miss Taylor.
True, yeah. Reputation was in a vault that was locked quite tightly. Unfortunately, Fruit was not.
I think the two extremes are Taylor to Charlie of how likely you are to be leaked.
Right, and I think Marina falls more unfortunately on the Charlie end. That's not where the comparisons will stop there, but I really love the album title Fruit.
Yeah, it's such an interesting spelling that I think has really pierced into gay culture. I myself even have a Fruit sticker on my laptop proudly placed right in the middle. I remember once I was in uni and my friend asked me genuinely if Fruit was like a gay spin on Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh my god, I want to see that.
And I was like, no, it's just an iconic piece of music.
It's giving very much fruity.
Even in the interviews when she's asked, obviously, every interviewer asked her, why was it called Fruit? And Miss Marina doesn't even know herself. Every time, she's like, I don't know. But occasionally, she will give a little nugget of inspiration. So a couple of times, she says that she likes the symmetry of the word, which doesn't have any symmetry other than the two O's, but...
Right, yeah. She was halfway there. A T is kind of an F.
And sometimes, she makes reference to the fact that the O's could link to create an infinity symbol, and the whole album has a cyclical nature to it, so I could get it. Of course, throughout all of her albums, she is a girl who likes wordplay, from champagne, combining shame and pain to make the word champagne, and even her SoundCloud exclusive EVOL, making the dichotomy between love and evil.
I think it's so interesting that it simultaneously could be that the two O's are an infinity symbol and represent an everlasting relationship cycle. And then it could also just be that she really likes Fruit Loops, the cereal. And I also really like the fact that the two O's kind of loop together to combine the two different elements of her first albums. Family Jewels, her first album, is so unique and creative. And then Electro Heart, the second album, is more mainstream and pop. And I think Fruit is a perfect amalgamation of both.
Yeah, and speaking of those original albums, this would be the last album that she actually calls herself Marina and the Diamonds, kind of closing off a really strong trilogy and progression in her career, followed by some choices, but for today we're going to stick to probably my favorite of her albums, and you can really tell that she was so intrinsic to the whole process. When you look at the writing credits, every single song is written completely by her, which is so different to Electra Heart, where you can tell there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen in terms of producers, writers. And I understand that that is a leap you have to take sometimes as a creative, but she really strips herself back for this one, and I think it really pays off.
Completely agreed. And I also think that this album made her reflect on her own name and her artistry name. I think seeing how she was so instrumental in the entire process, her moving towards just Marina, for that statement of I'm just doing it by myself, is so important for her career as well. I think a lot of people think the Diamonds are a band or part of the actual artist rather than just representing her fans. So I think that's where she stripped that back to make it super clear that she isn't a solo artist. I don't know whether that's specifically the reason, but it certainly feels like it to me.
Yeah, I feel like the name drop really closes off a chapter, and I can clearly see a change in her from after this album. Even in interviews, I think she takes herself a lot more seriously post this album.
And this album does quite well on the album charts as well, reaching number 10 on the UK album charts, which is actually her first UK top 10 album, with the first week sales coming in at 10,411 copies. I can proudly say that I am one of those, and I'm sure you are as well, Pete.
Of course, we have a Fruit vinyl in our living room.
True. And it was also quite well received by critics as well. It's got a score of 75 on Metacritic, showing that it was fairly well received, but I don't think it has pierced the zeitgeist or just general pop culture in the same way that Electra Heart did. And I think we're going to delve into a bit more of the reasons why, but certainly I think the rollout from the label and the marketing for Fruit wasn't up to the heights of Electra Heart, which followed a more traditional rollout pattern.
Yes, I agree. The initial rollout of Fruit actually is quite muddled. It starts off strong with a concept called Fruit of the Month, where she releases one of the songs from the album each month up until the release date. A lot of these end up being the singles that she eventually chooses. And for me, the concept was strong at the start, but then as the leak happened in the middle and then the album got pulled forward, the whole promotion ran out of steam. And on the official Marina the Diamonds Wikipedia page, they are very shady every single time a song is given a Fruit. Then on the vinyl re-release, they're given a different Fruit, which contradicts the Fruit of the Month. So I feel in the end, it became quite a cluttered way to release these songs.
And the vinyl itself, if you haven't seen it yet, is absolutely stunning. It's unfortunately not the vinyl copy that we have down the stairs, but a more exclusive box set that has six double-sided vinyls split into each Fruit. And each is given a different individual color of the rainbow that then makes up the box set. It is absolutely beautiful and even more expensive and rare to find. If you go on eBay and look it up, unless we get a lot of listeners and ad promotion from this episode, we will not be able to afford it ourselves, but definitely something worth checking out. It is a must have for any Marina fan, I'm sure.
Yes, every time you search Marina on Depop or eBay, and if you sort high to low, that Fruit box set will be at the very top. The most expensive and illustrious item to have in any gaze collection. And one day I will have it, but not yet.
Yeah, we'll have to sell a lot of ad space, but we will get there. And speaking of ads, let's jump right over to our sponsors for some incredible messages.
Younger than them, they'll rip you off. Do you want
some? No, thanks.
Are they selling drugs?
I think they're selling.
Same thing, isn't it?
Over here, sweetheart.
Oh, you! Over here! Over here!
Bye. Come over here, yeah. And what can I get you, my love?
I want to buy...
Let's give it up for the two listeners who actually got that funny Marina Times Doctor Who reference that Pete made.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's time to just jump into the nitty-gritty and the singles rollout for this album. Marina picks a lot of different singles, so we've got a lot to get through, and I think diving in at Fruit is the best place to go.
Gotta be one of her best lead singles. So iconic, so perfectly timed for me. I was just starting my A-levels. I was coming out of my shell in more ways than one, and I was ready to hear an 80s disco 5-minute gay bop.
Yeah, I was a bit further along in my life. I was at university at the time, but still always crave that 80s sound. One thing that Marina does so well on this album is have songs that are longer and not just ready for radio. And having a song that is 5 minutes lets her kind of give that vision. And this song is just so fun. And I also think not too different from Electra Heart, that it is an easier transition than some of the other songs.
Yes, so originally this song was called Pamplemousse, which is French for grapefruit. And if you think of the chorus, you can fit pamplemousse instead of the repeated O's in fruit.
I would love to hear you try.
Pamplemousse.
Oh, that would be good. That would be really good, actually.
Weirdly, this fruit is given grape as the fruit in the Fruit of the Month release. And Marina, in interviews, talks about how this is a really positive song about being happy, being in your prime, being ready to be loved, and living the best life that you can. She says this isn't really a concept that is talked about in her previous albums and singles, but I think even she is promoting herself as being ready to reinvent herself and change up her sound and what she is going to be allowed to release.
Weirdly enough, up until this point, Marina doesn't have a lot of love songs as her singles, which I think is so different from the majority of themes in what we have in music today. And I think even seeing that it took her till her third album to have a song like this come out shows that this was when she truly felt like she was ready for love, ready to be loved. And also, I love the unashamed cockiness, but also self-awareness of saying, I'm in my prime, I'm ready to find somebody, and if you don't pick me right now, I'm just gonna wither and die off. You know, it's like very, I'm ready. And I think even having grape be the fruit of the month for this specific song is so interesting because grapes are picked at their prime to be turned into wine, you know, something to loosen inhibitions, to have fun. And I think that does tie in as well. And it's also quite rich and decadent, which ties a bit more into the music video too.
For sure. And wine, of course, gets better with age. So she's showing that she might be getting older in the industry, but she is still releasing the songs that people want to hear. And even when you're talking about the music video, grapes add into that decadent visual of people like reclining and being fed grapes because they're of the higher echelon of society. I actually do enjoy the music video. I know Paul has a different opinion to me. It isn't very high concept, which I understand, but it really showcases Marina's very minimal choreography needed because I think she is such a visual artist. I don't know if you agree.
Is she a dancer? She's not a dancer.
Yeah.
For me personally, the songs in this album are very high concept. There's a lot more beneath the surface whenever you start to unpick them. The music videos and the visuals, on the other hand, or a bit more surface, and I think there's a bit of a disconnect, no pun intended, between the two. But it's cute. It's not bad by any stretch, and we will get onto some of the worst music videos of this era, and I do appreciate her attempts for some choreography. So overall, it's good, but I just believe this song is this really strong opener for the album cycle, and is a really incredible lead single as well. And I think if she had done something different, the era would look really different and not be as colourful and as explosive as it is in my mind.
This lead single was released on the 11th of November 2014. And the next one will be released 1 month and 1 day later.
So the next single is Happy, which is actually the first track on the album, track number one, and is a song that is very different tonally to Fruit. Marina says that it was really difficult to write and is more about everything around you and your response to everything that happens to you, as opposed to getting up every day and feeling happy.
This one's more of a ballad, kind of disguised as a sad song, but actually has a happy message.
It's a very hopeful song.
It's very different. And it is actually one of the Fruit of the Months, which is shown as a lemon, which for me shows how lemons are so vibrant but can be so bitter. You would never bite into a lemon, but it looks so appealing. That's how I feel with a song called Happy, which sounds sad but is actually happy. It's very big brain.
It's extremely big brain, and it is very bittersweet because it is all about finally, after everything and all the hardships and the end of a relationship, you're finally ready to be happy again. You've accepted yourself, you've accepted the situation, and you're moving on. It's almost a prelude to Fruit itself because it's that stage where you're getting ready to be able to be in a relationship again, whereas Fruit is all about, I'm at that stage, come and get me right now. And the positioning of them as track number one and two of the album makes a lot of sense storyline wise for me there as well.
I think she probably wanted this to be the lead single but knew that it would water down the message of the album, as it is sort of a prelude to what she's going to get into.
I've definitely read that she considered it to be the first single from the album, but said that it would be too easy a route to go down, I think, for that reason. I think Fruit actually sums up the entirety of the messaging better, and so probably the best choice. but definitely not the best music video. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that looked like?
It's literally just her in the studio with her band singing acoustic. There's not really any movement. It's very stationary Eurovision music video for me.
She is the choreographer from Fruit and just decided to walk about the stage. I don't know how many points she would get for the Eurovision because she's from the UK, but I definitely wish she had done something a little bit different, a bit more emotive for it.
I don't even think she moves.
She is giving Charlie Hides from Drag Race US here. I also think jumping back to it being the first song on the album and being so stripped back and focused on vocals rather than production is the juxtaposition of how production heavy Electra Heart was, and it's sort of signifying a move from mainstream pop music to something a bit more personal and raw, and probably is the best way to sort of structure that approach narratively if you compare it to Electra Heart.
So the next single will be released in February, just around the time of the leaks, and it is actually I'm a Ruin, which is an incredible song, signified by a cherry in the fruit of the month. Marina explains this song is about the stage where you're dealing with guilt after breaking off a relationship with someone, rather than most other love songs, which concentrate on being hurt because someone has broken up with you. It's more about the guilt that you've now put on yourself from ending something to benefit the two of you.
I think it's so brave to put out a song like this and really take accountability for your actions in a relationship and how you have contributed to the ultimate downfall of it, and recognizing that there are two people to blame and some relationships just end because it's their time and you're no longer happy. No pun intended again, but it's not about cheating. It's not about a scorned lover. It's just about falling out of love with somebody and how devastating that can be on yourself.
Unfortunately, I wish she had broken up with the person who made the music video, because this is for sure the worst of the five. I don't even know where to start, so Paul, you're going to have to take the reins on this one.
Well, we start quite literally in some sort of Spanish desert. Marina's doing some interpretive dancing. The choreographer's been purchased back again, and she's just moving about Mulan-esque in the wind. It feels artistic, I'll give her that. It definitely feels artsy, but I don't really understand what that's got to do with anything else.
Yes, and just when you think she can't move her arms in the wind anymore, she then dives into the ocean and sees a jellyfish, and then that's the end.
What does the jellyfish mean? It's like if you get stung, but I don't know. I'm not going to try and put any emphasis on it.
I feel like this is one of those videos you see in a contemporary art museum where it's being projected onto the wall and there's probably someone standing still and it's being projected on her.
Much like the rest of us, Marina was hoping to forget all about the I'm a Ruin music video and released Forget as the fourth official single on the 3rd of March 2015, a much more upbeat pop song that Marina wrote extremely hungover the day after the 2014 Brit Awards party, stating the song encapsulates the mood of the record as it is about taking a look at her entire life from a bird's eye perspective. It's actually the last single that is released before the album was pulled forward, so encapsulates kind of the theme of the album in that way, I think.
Again, quite a mediocre music video. When we were watching this video, we actually thought there was a higher concept than there ended up being. We see her on her own against a white wall in a black outfit, and the wall rotates to show her in a white outfit with a band, and we were thinking to ourselves, oh, okay, so that means the band is the diamonds and then the flip side of it is Marina by herself, and the whole video shows the wall rotating and seeing the two sides, but then the band jumps to the other side. And it ends up just being, I think, a cheap way to get a music video out, and is definitely not something I remember.
I'm not sure I'd ever seen it before our research for this, which shows that definitely wasn't pushed all that much. It does have quite a lot of views on YouTube, to be fair. It's got over 7 million views, which is impressive, but feels like the budget for these music videos was definitely not at the same level for Electra Heart.
For a 12-song album, she sure likes to release singles. The fifth and final single for Fruit is Blue, which is denoted as a blueberry in the Fruit universe.
Blue means she's sad.
This single wouldn't be released until July, so quite a long while after the release in March. This song is described by Marina as both 70s inspired and also the most pop sounding on the album. This was actually the first song she even wrote for the album, so for her, this was the touchstone of where she was to where she wanted to go. This definitely could fit quite easily in the end of the electro heart era.
Which is quite weird then that she released it as the last single from the Fruit era too. But again, potentially that leans into the everlasting cycle that the Double O's intend. You know, like, it shows that there is a touch of all of her previous eras in Fruit, which is her most personal.
Which leans into the thought process of picking fruit, which when eaten leaves behind seeds, which can then grow and reproduce. This is kind of like the remnants of one era being left to grow into another.
And it's something that Marina likes to say a lot, is she doesn't regret using so many collaborators in Electroheart because they'd all taught her something that she would use later in her discography. And I think this is definitely something that she enjoyed the sound of in Electroheart and pulled into Fruit.
For sure, and she definitely pulled some budget into this music video.
Finally, I don't know whether it was the sponsorship from Pandora, but it was definitely something that left a bigger budget. It depicts Marina in a fairground, in a very childlike state, running around having so much fun on the different rides, on the waltzer, etc. But then when the chorus hits, is crying so hard that she's laughing. There's a euphoric and almost bittersweet feeling about being happy and sad all at the same time, and how even when you're at your worst moments, laughing and having fun always is a good solution. And it is all about living your best life and just having a good time, even if you're down.
Yes, and of course Marina chooses her own destiny near the end, where she is a fortune teller giving out free Pandora charms.
Yeah, she was like, if this doesn't work out, if I'm not going to be a singer-songwriter, I have many other career options to me.
And now look who has a Pandora sponsorship.
Oh, a very familiar fruit there.
So now we're going to move on to the next segment, which is Snapped and Flopped. This is an extremely difficult choice. I don't think I could call any song on this album a flop, but there are always girls in the bottom two. And this week we do have a bottom two to battle it out. And I'm going to start by bringing Gold. Now, Gold is the final fruit of the month and is honestly a song that is one of the only that I would skip on this album. I have a funny story about Gold, actually. In December of 2015, I actually went to see Marina live in Limelight One in Belfast. And for some unbeknownst reason, Marina decided to debut Gold live in Belfast. Got to be one of the lowest selling ticket dates for her tour, but she sat down at that piano and sang to all of us. I wish that made it special to me, but I just don't love the song. From researching and reading deeper into the lyrics, the song's definitely about how she was treated in the Electroheart era, with people using her for her lyrics and then kind of taking away the core of what her songs were about to make them palatable to top 40 audiences. I like her use of how she talks about having the Midas touch, where she's almost implying that any song she touches does well, which isn't necessarily true, Marina, but I do appreciate where you're going with that. She even has a line where she says, "I'm $1 million in the hole," which is in reference to the fact that the label told her that she had bankrupted them with the amount of money she spent on the Electroheart music videos. And then when she's questioned on that in an interview, she says that she lied. And no one ever said that to her, but she just thought it was a good line. I just think that the song itself, sonically, isn't very interesting to me. It's a bit more stripped back. It's a bit slower paced. I think the messaging is repetitive, and the lyrics don't really go anywhere deeper than the first initial hit of understanding what she's singing about. Which isn't to say it's bad, it's just definitely one that I would skip and deserves to be in the bottom two for this album. So who is Gold lip-syncing against tonight?
Oh, it's definitely Savages from me, Pete. I want to make such a disclaimer from the very start that I think the subject matter and the topics addressed in this song are extremely important and deserve to be talked about. But I don't really think this song fits on the Fruit album very well. And the song, which Marina talks about quite openly, is all about the dichotomy between good and evil and how humanity really has the ability to do the most amazing things in the world, but also some of the most horrible and heinous acts, such as rape and murder, and was really inspired by by Marina Reading about the Boston Marathon bombing, and she wanted to write the song to help detangle her emotions and understand her viewpoint on it, because she's not sure how someone can both run a marathon and raise money for people, and also somebody else could be building a bomb to blow them up. And she's quite frank in even the lyrics about that. The song, even sonically, is pretty good. Like, I think it's kind of an earworm and sounds really pleasing as well, but it is such a early sign of where Marina would go in her career in terms of being more politically focused and trying to spread a social message, which, again, I want to make very clear, is admirable and super important. But in this album, feels really like such a right turn out of nowhere, and doesn't really fit in with the storyline or the concept of the album, and it just takes me out every single time that I hear it. I think she should, and my Taylor brain is on here, but if she'd released this in a Only the Young kind of vibe after the album era, that might have actually helped me enjoy the song, raise money for charities, and then position it as a separate entity. Including it within the Fruit umbrella just makes me feel like I don't fully understand how it pieces together. And without even speaking about Ancient Dreams in a Modern Land, her 2021 album is not my favorite type of pop music to have such a deep and dark message without any subtlety or nuances as well. Like, the lyrics in the song are very direct in calling out the Boston Marathon bombing and other acts like rape and murder, and it's a bit heavy coming right off of other songs like Better Than That and Weeds.
The rest of the album is so strong, and I feel like a lot of the greatest songs in the album do linger at the start. For me, my favorite song on this entire album, and probably of her entire discography, is Forget. I love this song. I think it's so empowering. It's so adult to just spread the message of there's no point living in regret because you can't forgive someone or can't even forgive yourself. She just really sings about how she needs to forgive and forget, move on. You can't put your life on hold, whether it's because of a relationship or not. I think a lot of the messaging in this album is about a relationship that went awry, but so many of the lyrics in this song I just love. And one of my favorite lines of all time, I love it, is right at the end. In the end, the road is long, but only because it makes you strong. I'm like, yes, give me it. It's such a breakup anthem. But it's even just good to give yourself a pat on the back and reflect on all the things that have been so shit in your life. And you can just keep going and it's gonna get better. And just to have no regrets.
And even just having the chorus be the overarching anthem of Forget makes it such an earworm as well. It does stick with you after listening, but it does have such a good message underneath too. One of the strongest songs for me has to be Better Than That, which actually is musically Marina's favourite song off the album as well. It is a song that she says is a spiritual successor to Electra Heart's Homewrecker, which is a perception of a woman who fits into the homewrecker archetype, but is almost on the inverse side. It's about someone who's in a relationship who has lost somebody to a, inverted commas, homewrecker. It's kind of a rock record. We like to talk about those in the pod, as our Guilty Pleasure fans will know. But I just think it's such a strong... Well, first of all, I think it's a bop. I just think it's so good and so catchy, but it's also playful and not overly serious. I've seen a lot of people compare it to Better Than Revenge by Taylor Swift, and again, me with my Taylor Swift references, but I think it does the theming of a harlot coming into a relationship and taking her man a bit better, because it's not as childish. Better Than Revenge is very problematic for me in terms of its messaging about women, but this is a more playful, kind of salacious read on women in society. I think it's got a good dual meaning as well, because it may not necessarily be about a relationship and a man that's being stolen, but more so a friend in the music industry who's has joined at the same time as Marina and then is using their influence and their sexuality to get further ahead. I think it's a commentary on females in the music industry as well, with some of the lyrics being like, she'll network till her dreams come true, even if that means getting into bed with you. You know, there are some implications that this is about somebody who has, inverted commas, slept their way to the top. And I think it's overall just a fun song that you can stick on and have a good time to, and it's not overly serious. I really like it.
Now, although these previous two are our personal favourites from the album, we would be remiss not to mention the pop perfection that is Blue. Personally, the most iconic thing about Blue is coming after the really empowered message of Forget, plus the mental strength needed in I'm a Ruin, where you're talking about how you've broken up but you knew it was for the best and you're gonna move on. And the first line of Blue is, we've broken up and now I regret it. And we've all been there where you have affirmed yourself into thinking, I did that and that was the right thing to do and I don't have any regrets. And then you wake up one day and you feel like, actually, you know what? I do regret it.
Yeah, I think it's so fun just coming right after I'm around to be like, okay, we broke up. And then to say, okay, well, actually, you know what? I regret it. I think you get something extra out of it by not shuffling and just listening to it in sequential order. And it's just kind of looking at every single person listening and going, we all have done this mistake before. We've all slept with an ex. We've all got involved in things we shouldn't have done. I have slept with many an ex, to be fair.
Not Exo Chicken.
Right.
Any of the current era pop girls could release Blue and it would go number one and TikTok will eat it up. But this song didn't really get her anywhere, but for us, definitely a close second for me. Speaking of seconds, now time for our second sponsored ad break.
I'm just eating fruit snacks.
See if you get me stinking, me Frank!
Are all these fruits starting to look familiar? Delete Grindr now and slide on over to Fruit Juice, the new dating app for gays and theys hoping to lose their blue balls. Don't forget some pineapples to sweeten that ripe taste.
Well, that advert left a weird taste in my mouth. Live from the Snappies, it's Snap Pod. Now for our first award of the night, over to Paul D.
Yes, thanks, Pete Q? This award is for the cringiest line from the album, and we have to go to a song we haven't actually discussed yet, which is Can't Pin Me Down, and the line, do you really want me to write a feminist anthem? I'm happy cooking dinner in the kitchen for my husband. For me specifically, this is again another cultural commentary that I don't really overly enjoy on songs like Savages. It's kind of contradictory to a lot of the material that Marina uses on Man's World. The first single from Ancient Dreams of a Modern Land, her fifth studio album. It's just a bit cringy for me, I'll not lie. It says all it needs to on the tin. Marina was actually asked about the line in an interview and she said she got married last year. No, I didn't. Feeding into Marina's consistent lying in her interview era. But she says it's about people trying to define who you are. It's about women mainly and what people expect or what you think when you don't even have any idea. And then she says, am I feminist though? Fuck yes. But even with feminism, it's not about being independent the whole time. There's nothing wrong with being a housewife, which is true. But I just feel like it's inconsistent messaging between a lot of her eras and also just a bit of a cringy line. Heading over to you then for the award for the weirdest fact.
My weirdest fact is actually about an unreleased song from the era. In April of 2015, Marina actually said she's going to repackage Fruit and add 7 more songs. The only ones we know of, though, are called When You Take Away Control, Savior, possibly a cover of True Colors by Cyndi Lauper, and then the iconic I'm Not Hungry Anymore. So this is an incredible song, which you can find on YouTube as it actually leaked in 2017. But was never mentioned again until 2019, where Marina goes on tour for her next studio album called Love and Fear. She puts up a poll for songs that fans want to see her perform on the tour. And for some reason, she puts I'm Not Hungry Anymore, which no one should have heard legally. But the poll unanimously picks this. And then she tweets, just on my way to add I'm Not Hungry Anymore to the set list. The power of this stan base. So everyone gets a bit excited. We're going to get this unreleased song. Are we getting the whole repackage? Well, in August of 2019, she goes on Instagram and says, oh, I'll upload that to Spotify soon. So we're all excited. And then she performs it on the tour. And in the middle of her big speech about performing it for the first time, someone shouts, put it on Spotify. And she says, put it on Spotify. Yes, I will put it on Spotify. And then nothing. So January 2020 comes along. The song gets registered with BMI. And nothing. It even gets to the point in June 2021 where someone asks her in a Q&A, where is I'm Not Hungry Anymore? And she says, I didn't put it on Spotify because someone leaked it. So I was like, what's the point? But everyone knows that the song leaked 4 years previous to this point. So I think she's just lazy and probably did another Marina lie.
Yeah, she seems to have a problem with that overall, not just on this era.
Now, what could I wear to the Fruiture Ball? What is the ugliest possible merch I could purchase to wear?
Okay, there's a lot of really nice merch. I won't lie, like Marina would, but there is a really bad vest top short combo, which is random images, like Google image vectors of fruit that she's copy and pasted and put like a galaxy theme in the background. I don't know where I would wear this to. I don't know where I would hit the red carpet with.
It kind of looks like the floor of a bowling alley.
Oh, it totally does look like the floor of a bowling alley. It's just not good. It's not nice. And I would not wear it. I don't respect her. The next award then is for the best live performance. Why don't you tell everyone what that is, Pete?
Marina is definitely a vocalist. I did struggle to find any live performances that I was floored by. I really like her visuals this era, but a lot of her performances are just her standing in a microphone singing. And I understand why, because she was showing that she didn't need all the flash and guff to make a good song. But it was very easy for me to pick her performance of Forget live with Conan O'Brien in April of 2015. It is my favorite song, and I really like the way she changes up the backing vocals and just sounds really good on this performance, and she's giving it a lot of energy. So I've got to give it to that, but I wouldn't really recommend looking into her other live performances of this era. Regardless of her live performances, she does sometimes pull an iconic look. So why don't you give us the final snappy for tonight for best look?
The photo shoot for the album itself has to be my favorite of Marina's of all time. I think it's so iconic. Her makeup is on point. Her hair is sitting just right. There's a lot of really iconic visuals from this. And there's one particular look where she's wearing like a blue satin jumpsuit playsuit. We can't see the bottom half, so I don't know what she's wearing. But it's tied around her waist and she just looks so beautiful. And it's giving...
It's giving Cher.
Grapefruit blue slushy energy. She looks so good. And even it just has the like red light on one side, the blue light on the other side, showing the full color range, which I think represents the album so well. I just think it just gives me fruit. And she just looks absolutely stunning.
Bitch, she look good. Like, I can't. I'm sick of her. I'm sick of this bitch. I'm sick of her.
Now, let's go back to the studio to wrap up our thoughts.
Now that we're back in the studio, I think it's really important that we pick apart where this actually sits in her discography and what comes before and then also what comes after. We've mentioned before that the album before this was called Electra Heart, a conceptual album where Marina takes on the role of the titular character Electra Heart, a budding actress slash singer who wants to make it in the industry, and she gives all of her songs through this lens, whereas on Fruit, everything is coming from her own perspective and her own experiences. And she's actually asked in an interview where we cannot fully rely on the veracity of her information, but she was asked, how did you kill off Electra Heart? And she says, oh, with sleeping pills, of course, but I had to kill her. It was the end. It was really fun while it lasted, but those things are only meant to last a certain amount of time. For me specifically, Electra Heart is a really strong moment in time, but because she stripped back all of the production, all the producers, and only worked with one producer, wrote everything herself, it just kind of made sense for her to step back and stand in the light as herself, rather than taking on the character. And I think the character was a way for her to experience the mainstream pop music, but really, in truth, it isn't necessarily her preferred way to convey her art and her music. So it's really interesting that she just kind of kills off Electra Heart, similar to when Miley Cyrus kills off Hannah Montana in a similar drug-fueled incident. So yeah, there's always some similarities between those two characters.
Is she still alive?
No.
I love it. I think it's so camp when these alter egos get killed off. I think it really just seals the era and continues the soap opera nature of what they're doing.
And speaking of a soap opera, there was some drama surrounding the Fruit era between Marina and fan fave Charlie XCX. On March 10th of 2016, Charlie reveals a photo from an ad campaign from a fragrance called Impulse, and fans quickly point out there are some significant similarities from the image and the Immortal photo shoot from Marina's Fruit album. Marina herself kind of seems to agree with this and comments on the post saying, that Fruit looks familiar, which I get all the time in the Gay Club when I walk past, to be fair. She then takes to Twitter, posting a tweet that said, imagery is an artistic property. Please respect your fellow artists. Now that's some shade from Marina. especially given that Marina and Charlie had a hit SoundCloud song called Just Desserts a few years prior. It seems like they're a budding duo ended quite quickly with this. Charlie replied to the tweet with a link to an Instagram post just saying that she had never seen Marina's campaign. She said, "Immortal who? Don't know her." And there's no artistic license in standing in front of a lemon tree, which Marina probably did not agree with. Physic, over the years, they hopefully repaired their relationship. I would really like to see Marina on Charlie's Best Song Ever podcast on BBC Sounds. I think that would be so interesting to hear their take on it 7 years later and hopefully get to the bottom of some of their differences. I just thought it was so interesting. And if anything is similar now, I just know it as a familiar fruit moment.
I know, it's such a shame that their relationship soured.
Not soured.
As with any album rollout, the last thing to come is the tour. And with this album, the tour was called the Neon Nature Tour. It was a 48-day tour from October 2015 and included performances in North and South America and Europe. And as I mentioned before, I went on the 1st of December 2015. This was actually one of the first concerts I ever went to and was the first pop girly I ever went to with my gorgeous friend Rebecca. And it was in Limelight One, which is straight culture, as anyone from Belfast knows. But it was quite an intimate venue for Marina. In my head, I thought she could sell out arenas, but I was wrong. The structure of the tour was quite strange, though, for it being a fruit tour. The whole set list was split in three, and she came out as each of her different eras with a costume change, which I thought was amazing because this was my first time seeing her, so I got a taste of everything. But it gave quite a small amount of time to fruit, which I understand, but left me wanting a wee bit more. At this tour was the first place that anyone ever flirted with me. Both a girl and a guy flirted with me at this event, and that has never happened since.
A one-night exclusive in Limelight.
I was wearing a vile grey hoodie, so maybe they were colourblind, I don't know.
Maybe that's the ugliest merch for this episode, actually. Maybe you and the Snappy this week.
As we put across our final thoughts for this album, it really came at such a special and significant time for me. I had just begun coming out to people and really allowing myself to listen to the music that I wanted to without being ashamed or trying to hide and listen to something mask. It also came at a significant time for me as I had broken off my first, inverted commas, relationship with a man. And for me, my love of this album is so subconscious because I don't think it's explicitly a breakup album, but a lot of the messages in it are ones that I even hold on to now, and that might sound cringy, but it is a really special album to me. And I'll forgive Marina her multitude of sins for Love and Fear and Ancient Dreams, because this album really touched me as a young, just out of the closet, ready to have fun, ripe for the picking gay, and I'll always be thankful to her for it.
And that, everybody, is Fruit from your two favourite fruits. As usual, please make sure to subscribe and follow on all of our social medias at SnappedPod, and tune in next week for another incredible episode. And stay tuned for a quick sneak peek. As usual, I've been Paul.
And I've been Pete.
And it's been great to have you. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.